Okay. So, we are continuing our series on the Word of God and about the Word of God with Psalm 119. So this is our second crack at it, second chapter. If you missed the first one, I'd encourage you to listen to it on our website. We have a website, livingwaterchardon.org. All the sermons, all the messages are there, waiting for you to listen to them, waiting for you to very easily send to anyone you want. We forward stuff all over the place. Usually it's cat videos and things like that. You can send sermons, and then people will block you. So then you won't have to get as much social media coming at you all the time. It's a great plan. It works for me. So anyway, we're going to be starting at verse 9. Pastor Lisa, if you would, please read for us.
Psalm 119, verses 9 through 16. How can a young person keep their way pure? By living according to your word. I seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Praise be to you, Lord. Teach me your decrees. With my lips I recount all the laws that come from your mouth. I rejoice in following your statutes as one rejoices in great riches. I meditate on your precepts and consider your ways. I delight in your decrees. I will not neglect your word.
Beautiful. Thank you, thank you. So this is an amazing passage of scripture this morning. You'll be blessed if you take in what God is saying to you. Don't let this blow past you. Don't just take it in. It needs to be taken into your life, into your heart. So first, before we do that, let's pray. Let's pray together. Lord, this is such an important passage of your word. We don't want anything to slip by us this morning. We don't want to miss anything that you have for us, whether it's as a church or as individuals. So teach us and guide us with your word and with your spirit. We humbly ask you in the name of Jesus, your Son and our Savior. Amen. So let's get right to it. And we say, speak, Lord, for your servants are listening. Psalm 119. And again, this is, we talked about last time, it's an acrostic. Each stanza has a different letter of the Hebrew alphabet. It's kind of a literary thing that's lost on us because we don't speak Hebrew. But, nevertheless, verse 9. How can a young person keep their way pure by living according to your word? So this is one of the most basic and important questions that anyone, any of us can ask, right? And don't dump this on young people, by the way. This is for all of us. It's for all of us. How on earth can anyone, young or old, keep themselves or their ways pure? In today's culture, today is so bad. And the people 5 years ago said it was bad, and 10 years and 100 years ago, and it was bad. And if only it was like the good old days were bad. Be honest with yourself, okay? There was just as much sin, just as much evil, just as much everything. Okay, nothing, Solomon said it right. There's nothing new under the sun. It's just out in the open more. Just out in the open more. It was the same. Okay, so how do you keep yourself pure? It's a question for the ages, isn't it? And the answer would be, you know, the answer's right there, by living according to your word. But I don't hear people answer it that way. I hear it another way. And it's with this shrug, and it goes something like this. Hey, what are you going to do? Hey, what are you going to do? It's the way it is today. Hear that? That's the second part. It's the way it is today. What are you going to do? And I usually hear that after an explanation from someone who has adopted a sinful lifestyle. They're doing something in their life that they know is wrong, and then they here's a disclaimer, like at the end of an infomercial, hey, what are you going to do? It's the way it is. I don't talk to my family. What are you going to do? It's the way it is these days. I don't do this. And it's just the way it is. It's an explanation of a sinful lifestyle. And they say, you know I should be living this way or that way, or the person that I know and love should be living this or that way. But hey, what are you going to do? Well, I'll tell you exactly what you're going to do. Okay? This is what you should do. Live according to God's word. It's the answer right there. Live according to God's word. If your lifestyle, your morals, your ethics, your attitudes, if they line up with God's commands and precepts, which are found in his word, then you can live a pure life. It's doable. It's doable. This isn't pie in the sky. It's not old-fashioned. It's actually doable today in any culture around the world. In any culture around the world. Think of how they lived in Jesus' time. When people came out of the culture and came and lived pure lives, trying as hard as they could, living according to God's commands, they came out of a culture that had homosexuality on every corner. Men had boys that they kept in their homes, you know, for sex. You think it's crazy today? And they said, no, we're not doing it. It's wrong. I'm not doing it. In any culture, it's doable. And the psalmist is going to tell you the secret this morning of how to do it. It's done in two ways, he says. The first way, verse 10, I seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. I seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. You know what that's saying? It's the first. This is the first step, the first way to keep your life pure and aligned with God. Seek him. Seek him. In other words, look for him to do the work, to repair, to restore, and to purify your life. Your life needs to be repaired. Your life needs to be restored, and your life needs to be purified. Listen, your heart is not unlike a computer hard drive. It gets fragmented, so it can't focus on God. That's the way my computer is. I give it simple tasks, and the hard drive light blinks like crazy because it's doing other things. So are you and I. We're supposed to be seeking the Lord in all things, but our hard drives are seeking other things. We're so involved in the fluff of the world, we forget the creator of the world. Our hard drive, my computer, gets corrupted sometimes. There's parts on it that don't work anymore on the hard drive. If you do a hard drive scan, it says, this area is corrupted. Oh, what do? You fix it. And the psalmist is saying, only God can fix your heart. Only he can do it. He's going to fix your hard drive of your heart. My computer gets corrupted, it can't accept new files or precepts from God. That's the way my heart is, and it needs to be cleansed because it needs repair, restoration, and purification. It needs to be cleansed from wicked and evil viruses. That's the way my computer is, that have taken control of it and prevent its normal operation. You see, the human heart is in many ways not unlike your computer's hard disk. And we all know that a computer hard drive is incapable of repairing itself. Unplug the internet from your computer, it's fragmented, it's corrupted, and it's got viruses. And you go, hey, work on it, dude. Good luck. Can't fix itself. It needs stuff from the outside. Your computer needs help from the cloud, and you and I need help from the one who sits enthroned above the clouds. The Lord Almighty is his name, by the way. We can't fix ourselves. And the psalmist is literally saying, I seek you You're the one that's going to keep me from straying. You're the one. Don't let me go off the rails. Don't let me go off the rails. And the verse 1 is my part. I seek after the Lord. It's an action requiring actual effort on our parts. Seek Him a little bit, it says. Seek Him in your spare time. No. Seek Him with all your heart. With all your heart, in all things. And look what he says, that he will give you the power to obey his commands. He'll come and do the repair, the restoration, and the purification of your heart. He'll repair, he'll defragment your heart and your thoughts. You'll not be unfocused and scatterbrained about the things of God. You'll not say, I think this is what God, I think it says in the Bible this, doesn't it? I think God said this. No, you'll know. You'll know. I think I should live this way. No, you'll know the way to live. And he'll repair. He'll repair. When he cleanses us, he gives us the ability to see right and wrong clearly and adjust your lifestyle accordingly. The things that you think were okay yesterday, you realize, oh my gosh, that attitude was terrible. I had a bad attitude about these people. I had a bad attitude in this area, in that area. I'm doing wrong things. I'm hurting people. I'm taking advantage of people. I'm using people. You'll see it. You never saw it before, but you'll see it with the combination of God's word and God. And God. And he repairs your corrupted heart and mind. You see things in a proper God-ordained perspective. You won't have a wrong worldly viewpoint on sex or women or alcohol or drugs or gambling. Just because it's legal doesn't make it right. It's legal according to who? According to who? Everyone's doing it. Everyone's doing this thing. Doesn't say anything about everyone, does it? It's about you and God and living according to his ways. And just because everyone is doing things, obviously doesn't make it right. So we take our guidance from the Word of God, and his Spirit in you works hand in hand with his word to lead, guide, and direct you into a lifestyle and attitude which pleases the Father. So the first step to achieve a godly lifestyle is to seek God and enlist his help. And the second one, this is a huge one, verse 11, I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. I have hidden, I'm going to read that again. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. That is a verse. That is a verse worthy of a refrigerator. That should come on Whirlpool, should have an optional model that has that verse on it. So you wouldn't have to put it on there. So what exactly is the psalmist saying to you? I'll tell you exactly what he's saying. It's this. If you have the Word of God in you, it will keep you from sin. If you have the Word of God in you, it will keep you from sin. You know, we figured that out in modern medicine, didn't we? I mean, back in the day, people would get sick, they get a disease, they'd go to a doctor or they'd go to a hospital and they'd say, we'll try and help them. And a lot of times they could and a lot of times they couldn't. And, right, it makes sense. You get sick, you suffer illness, you go to the doctor, hopefully they can treat you and cure you, hopefully. But in more recent times, in the last century, what did we do, right? A breakthrough in medicine, the discovery of vaccines, right? Why get smallpox or polio and hope they can cure you when you can be vaccinated against it? Makes sense to me, right? So you're hoping to be saved by doctors. when you can be immune to it. And this vaccine, as I understand it, is inside your body. It's waiting. It's sitting in there. And when the disease comes, it has no effect on you. It has no effect on you. The person on your left may get it, and the person on your right may get it, but you don't get it. It has no effect on you because of what's in you. You have been inoculated against it. That's my understanding. That's the extent of my medical knowledge. Okay? And your body is able to resist it. Others get sick, others fall off, but not you. What's inside you fights it off. And the psalmist says, so it is with the word of God. Put the word of God in you. That means read it. That means learn it. Don't be a lazy Christian, right? Let the word of God dwell in you, the scripture says. Let it live in you. And you will be able to resist evil just like a vaccine resists germs. It's like antivirus software on your computer, right? It clobbers when viruses come along in the electronic world. Your computer doesn't get it because what's stored in the computer clobbers it as soon as it comes in. Other people's get hacked. They get their stuff gets stolen, not yours because you have up-to-date antivirus, right? So having the Word of God in you, not on your phone, not in a book on a shelf, in you, you'll be able to resist temptations to sin. Because the Word of God unmasks things of the world for what they are. It doesn't matter if everyone is doing something. When something comes before you, you will have the God-given ability to say, uh-uh. You know, my phone rings all the time. I mean, all the time. Okay, my personal phone is the church phone, okay? Because we're cheap, okay? We're not going to pay for a phone, right? So it's my phone number. Phone rings all the time. You know what it says? That's what it says most of the time. Scam likely. Does your phone do that? Yes. And I go, uh-uh. I don't answer it and give him my credit card number. Well, the guy was so nice when he asked, and she told me her car's broken down, right? We wouldn't fall for that. Having the Word of God in you is like having that. When all different situations come up, when someone responds to you and you say, I have every right to respond this way, look on your phone. God says, don't do it. Don't respond that way. Who says you have a right to respond that way? Did I tell you you have a right to respond that way? Or is the world telling you? And when you hear things, it clears up everything. You see it clearly. Having the Word of God in your heart lets you see clearly. Hey, let's move in together. Ding, scam likely. Scam likely. Someone's using somebody here. Right? And this person is just going to use me and so on, right? All those different things. You know, for Christmas this year, Lisa and I bought a couple really good gifts for our children that have their own families. Two of our kids have their own families. Have children. So we bought them each a glory light projector, night light projector. Anybody know what that is? It's way cool, right? And it's a nightlight projector for their rooms. Oh, that's nice. They sell those, put stars on the ceiling, right? So here's what they are. They're a ceiling projector, okay? And they cover the kids' room in stars and night sky, but they have these interchangeable little cartridges with scripture verses. And you put a cartridge in there, and it has a scripture verse on the ceiling for them. So they wake up in the night, get the Word of God over them. In the morning, it's got the Word. Tomorrow, they can put it, you let them put it, take them in and out and everything like that. We thought that this is really cool, that they would fall asleep with it and have this wonderful tool to help our youngsters put the Word of God in them. But get this. I give it to my son Tim's family at Christmas, right? And I'm showing it to their oldest daughter, my beautiful granddaughter. Her name is Lila. And I said, look, Lila, there's a cartridge. See? And you put it, each cartridge has different verse. She's like, oh. And I said, look at this one. It's from 1 Peter. Cast all your cares. And she goes, upon him, because he cares for you. And I almost fell on the floor. I'm like, I didn't plug it in yet, kid. How do you know that? She's 9 years old, maybe 10, I think nine. And the word of God is already in her. So my son and his wife are doing a fantastic job raising their kids. That she knows this verse. If I ask 50-year-old Christians, they couldn't finish that verse. Am I right? And 9-year-olds got it because he cares for us. And she has already been in the process of hiding the word in her heart. Like I said, her parents are doing a great job. It's because they had great parents, probably. Having the word, probably not. Having the word in your heart, knowing it, owning it, I could give you a million analogies. If you're a military fan, do you know what active armor is? They made tanks and stuff and armored personnel carriers thicker and thicker with bigger steel. It's so heavy they couldn't even move to prevent enemy shells from coming in. And then the Israelis kind of developed active armor. And it's real lightweight stuff that goes around the outside of a tank or an armored personnel carrier. And when it sees an incoming shell, it explodes outward, just a focused little boom. It's very lightweight. They can drive around. The point is this, it's there waiting for an attack from an enemy, for a wrong thing coming at them, and it just goes, boom, you ain't coming in me. That's the way the word of God in your heart is. It purifies your heart. Wrong ideas come, things like that, boom. Not to you, they don't. It purifies our heart. Think dialysis. Anybody know anyone on dialysis? I had a friend, yeah. At a friend I worked with, and I'd say, oh, this is, I'd say, how you doing? He goes, oh, I don't know, man. I go in tomorrow for dialysis. And he'd come out of dialysis. You know what he'd say? I feel great. Why? Because he's been purified. He's been pure. What does dialysis do? It takes out the impurities and the junk out of his fluids and his bloodstream that his body can't do. So does the word of God. It removes the impurities and the junk that you are unable. You can't do dialysis. I didn't want to say, hey, we could do this in my garage with a coffee can and a filter. We could save you some money, dude. No. No, actually, we can't do dialysis ourselves, right? He needs to go to a specialist. We can't purify our own lives. Only God can. And I'm not going to go any further in the passage. That's as far as we're going to get. 3 verses. Whatever way I can get it through to you today, whatever analogy clicks with you, computers, personal health, think personal health. What do we hear today? Gut health. Everything is your gut, right? It's all you hear, right? It's the thing, right? A couple of years from now, you won't hear it. But that's the thing now. Everything is gut health. What does that mean? It means if you have a healthy gut inside you, it prevents germs, even they're saying even cancers. If you're healthy on the inside, these germs, viruses, diseases, someone gets you over here, the person over here falls off with it. You don't. How do you get a healthy gut? Gee, you put good things in it. Fermented foods, good meats, good vegetables, good stuff. You don't fill it with garbage. And it creates a great mass that has the ability to destroy evil things. So it is with the Word of God. Put the Word of God in you. Read it, study it, come to Bible study, and you will have the ability to live a life pure and pleasing to God. So we need pure hearts to live the life God intends for us. God has a life. There's a life we live and a life we should be living. And sometimes they're not the same. And I think it grieves the Father. It would for me, for my kids, if I look at my kids and say, I didn't raise you to be like that. I raised you this way. had created you for this. You're so much better than that. I think the Father looks at me and says the same thing. And he wants us to live to our God-given potential. He wants us to live the way he designed us. And the foundation for that is a pure heart, is to have a pure heart and a pure life. And you have to have that to be a useful servant of the Father, right? You want to be a tool in his hands. Well, if God is a surgeon, would he use a dirty tool? Probably not. Would you want to have surgery with... and you say, whoa, right before they put you under, the last thing you see is they haven't cleaned the... No. So we have to be clean. I have to be clean. So God can use me. So he can use me to bring his kingdom here on earth, that we can have a life that's pleasing to him. So if you desire a pure heart and a pure life, then Pastor Lisa is going to play a song because she's got talent. You don't want me playing a song. And it's a song that I think you know because we just sang it 15 minutes ago. Purify My Heart. You sang it as a song before. Sing it as a prayer if you mean it today. If you really want the Lord to bring change in your life. It's the time of change. It's a new year. There's something magical about it. The days are getting longer. It's a new year. There's change in the air. Let's change for the better for God. Pastor Lisa, but please stand and sing. Standing, let's pray together. Father, your holiness is our desire. Hold us to the words that we sang, Lord. Change our lives. Make us the people that you intend us to be, Lord. Give us the ability to stay on the rails, to stay on the road, to stay on the narrow path, Lord. Help us from flying off in heated times, Lord. Give us that fruit of the Spirit that we read about in your word, Lord. The love, the gentleness, the self-control, Lord. And we'll give you all the glory, Lord. Lord, we can't wait. We can't wait to be cleansed as you do dialysis on our entire life, that we would be cleansed and useful, a useful tool in your hands. We can't even imagine what that's going to look like, the great works that you have for us to do. We can't wait to walk into them. We love you today, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.